2 years ago, a group of young New Orleans jazz musicians began meeting for weekly practice sessions at UNO with the idea of improving their musical skills. Before long, they'd formed a band called The Session. The group's various members have logged stage hours with local music icons like Jermaine Basil and Ellis Marsalis. Last fall, they raised money via the website Kickstarter to record a debut album entitled This Is Who We Are. I sat down with two members of the quintet, saxophonist James Partridge and trumpeter Stephen Lands, to talk about the record.
My name is Stephen Lands. I'm the trumpet player for The Session.
My name is James Partridge. I play saxophone for The Session. One of the reasons why the album's name is This Is Who We Are is because, you know, 2 years in the making and this is who we are, so we're excited to come out with it and show people what we have. It's very much representative of what we do.
You guys come from a lot of different jazz backgrounds in the city, but you met up at UNO, right?
That was our location to start practicing. I'm not sure if anyone... No, the bassist, Jason Weaver, was at UNO at the time, and we started practicing there. He was the only one who was at UNO, but he and Darian and the first pianist, he later moved to North Carolina, but he's back now. Austin Johnson, I started practicing together. Then I bumped into Darian and I started joining them. This is all 2 years ago. And then we all knew Steve from probably Delphio Marsalis's big band. And he was living in Baton Rouge at the time and we desperately wanted him. And then finally he moved to New Orleans. So
I'd
we
love
got
to
him.
Hear him say it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he joined our practice sessions and then we all just practiced together and then we started gigging together and then now we have an album.
And this record project was funded on Kickstarter. You got online contributions to help fund the recording project, right?
Yes, we did, which we're extremely grateful for. It was amazing how well that went. I think one of the cool things about that, looking down the statistics, is that isn't this one of the Barack Obama's campaign posts? But I think we relied most on a lot of small donations rather than a few gigantic donations. So a lot of people helped us, which is amazing. We also funded it through gigs and the like. Yeah, a lot of our gig money went to the album.
And of course, I guess if we can take this opportunity to just thank everybody who donated to that Kickstarter fund. I hope those who met the criteria are enjoying what they received, and everybody's enjoying the CD in general. So thank you, Schneider and Warney, all for that.
Darian cooked dinner for my dad. He gave enough for Darian to cook dinner for my dad. He made salmon pasta. It was all right.
I wanted to come out of gig.
So when did you guys go into the studio?
Early October. The days...
They blend together, especially in the studio.
Exactly.
We were barely sleeping.
Exactly. But yeah, it was like sometime in early October, we were at the shed.
Yeah, the music shed in the Garden District.
Yeah.
Which was an amazing experience. I'm actually, you're probably a lot more experienced than I am in the studio. I that was one of my first extensive, longer-term stays in the studio, and it really takes it out of you.
Yeah, man. It's because, like, you have to... like stay focused that entire time upon, like, you have to like wonder, okay, what am I doing? Of course your chops are getting tired, but you have to keep that together, space that out, and you have to think mentally, make sure you're still on your game because your solos have to be good, your blending has to still be good. But I've never actually done a small jazz group record in the studio, so that was weird. But The Shed was helpful. We loved it. It was very helpful to.
We had Brian Seeger producing. Just made all the difference.
Yeah, it did.
We tried it once before at a different studio that like sort of got cut off for different reasons, and that was on our own without a producer. Mm-hmm. We were sort of leadless. It's amazing the difference the producer makes. Yeah. He was sort of directing us and showing us the way, and he's so experienced.
Yeah, he walk in there, and it's just his vibe. It's just, you know, it. When we were thinking, you know, oh man, this has got to be better. No, that's good. That's fine. That's good, man. Just, you know, move on to the next track. We're good. That's cool. You kind of need somebody to do that if it's really good, you know. And he can tell you that. I feel like Brian Seeger is a guy who can definitely be honest. So yeah, and that was very helpful. That was good. Great of him to do that.
Tell me about the style of jazz that you guys play. Listening to the record, I get a bit of a 60s Blue Note vibe. Is that fair?
Yeah, certainly from the cover, at least. You don't even have to listen to it. But Yeah, I mean, we're all. I mean, one of the interesting things about us is we are definitely all listening for two different things, and a lot of the same things as well. So that there's, depending on who wrote the composition, you might get a slightly different blend of influences. But yeah, we're all coming from sort of a. Oh, we're coming from the lineage. I mean, I think some of us, I mean, we're all in different times. You play in different traditional music bands, and I do too, and then all the way through hard bop and bebop to hard bop to modern now, we're checking out things like Terrence Blanchard everything else in between. So definitely has that Blue Note vibe, just because I guess that Blue Note vibe was such a heavy influence on the sound of jazz history, so that's a lot of what we're listening to.
It's, yeah, pretty much like what you said, the individualism does show up because, you know, like some people may have obviously focused on more, you know, different things in different albums, especially like lending itself to the instrument, because, you know, of course, I feel like naturally there's a strong possibility that James is going to listen to Joe Henderson more than I will, and there's a strong possibility that I'm gonna listen to Freddie Hubbard more than he will. So, like, I feel like, you know, that is the thing that sort of lends itself to the style of the compositions. Like, I love Terrence Blanchard, and it definitely shows. I won't even deny it on the two tracks that I contributed. As a matter of fact, this Sunday we were both dealing with Joe Henderson. For us playing at the Fontainebleau, we played at the Fontainebleau Room basically from 10 o'clock to midnight, and we had both, you know, listened to some Joe Henderson, and it just so happened he called me. He's like, hey, we should do some Joe Henderson. I was like, well, actually, I know a lot of that stuff already, and I didn't know it as well as I thought I did. But
I mean, it's definitely could be described as modern. I mean, it's contemporary, as in we're writing compositions in the present,
right?
Contemporary. what was I going to say? One thing I think that really sort of marks us out, perhaps, as you know, we live in New Orleans, is that emphasis on like heavy swing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of modern jazz albums coming out right now that might be a bit of a less of an influence emphasis on heavy swing.
Yeah,
if you go up to the Northeast, and I think for that reason we could be seen as taking quite a lot from what, you know, like Winton's quintet was doing in the 80s and Bramford's Marsalis's quartet now.
I think we brought up all the Marsalises now.
Right.
Oh, damn, I should have saw Nicholas Payton. All right, scratch that. Could be seen as somewhat influenced by Nicholas Payton's quartet in the 90s.
Or maybe no one's mentioned Ellis yet.
Ellis. When we did the big band, we played with Ellis a few times. He definitely came and played. The big band was the thing that kind of tied. Darian and Jason played for Jason Marsalis a lot. And of course, Austin, the original pianist, did. Most of us met through Delphio's, the influence on the Marsalis on the culmination of the session is there just because of the meeting. But, you know.
It's also almost like a meeting point, because like that's where people go when they first move to town and like sit in and hear. It's like, I look up on the listings. I moved to New Orleans. Oh, Jason Marsalis is playing on Tuesday. I'm
right.
Gonna go
every
there.
Friday, Ellis is in the harbor. Like, you can't get past
that's where we meet each other in a way.
Love them, but you can't get past them.
So this concert is a social occasion.
So James, tell me a little bit about your musical background. How did you end up in New Orleans?
Well, I grew up in London. Maybe obviously, and didn't really have much of a reason to listen to jazz. I started out on classical. I was really heavily into playing classical clarinet. Somehow, I think through, you know, in like school orchestras, sometimes they come out with like a really whack jazz arrangement of something like quasi jazz for the school classical orchestra.
Mine was Louie Louie.
That was probably
the famous jazz song.
That might have been my first exposure to jazz. Why that made me want to play it, I don't know. But the little bit of jazz in those high school classical orchestra jazz arrangements made me want to play more jazz. And so I did. I found some people in the city who were doing it, and there is a scene there, and started doing it more and more, first on clarinet, and then I was tired of not being heard over the drums, so I picked up saxophone. And Also, yeah, because I love Sonny Rollins, I think at the time Sex Friend Colossus was my favorite album, and did it more and more and more, and did it around the city, mostly actually gigs in London. There's lots of like ska band gigs and neo soul, really. So that's kind of the first gigs I was doing. And then I went to, I think I had to go to France to audition for Berklee College of Music in Boston, and went there, got a degree. I have a cousin down here in New Orleans, so I used to come down to New Orleans rather than go home to England, and work. Actually bartend at Friar Tuck's, anyone who's old enough to remember that horrible place, is what I did in the summers. And then after I graduated, kind of when you leave Berklee, you kind of, you have a choice. You either give up or you go to New York or you do something else or go to New Orleans or somewhere like that. I chose New Orleans. Most people, I was almost thinking of New York, but I knew so many people down here, and this music scene is incredible, incredibly welcoming. And I think it's a wonderful place to be if you're trying to grow as a jazz musician. Apart from anything else, this is where it all started. It kind of makes sense. Yeah. So I moved down here and here I am.
Cool. And how about you, Steven?
Of course, the similar lame jazz band beginning. my folks were heavily involved in church. They like, you know, they church all the time. And so I used to do the poems and all the kind of little things. Jesus loves me, man. And I guess just like the little rhymey things, it's like four lines.
Yes, I know.
Huh?
Jesus loves me, yes, I know.
For the Bible tells me so. Yeah, that one. Classic. Thank you. But that one, like four lines, and then they clapped, and I'm like, go ahead. And so I got about eight, and I realized I did not want to do that stuff anymore. I did not want to do it. So my parents was like, okay, you're going to do something. You are not going to, like, I said, and honestly, all of my older siblings, I'm one of nine, and I'm the fourth to last one, actually the third to last one. So all of my older siblings played instruments. All of them. My brother Israel played organ. My brother Peter played trumpet. Israel was like every man. He could play everything, but he played trumpet too. But anyway, there's an old trumpet in my house, and so I looked at it. I fiddled around on it. I said, I'll do this. And I just kept doing it. that's really all it was. So whenever we were in church, I would sit in the corner. I wouldn't even have a microphone. I really did it so I didn't have to do anything else. I played really, really softly. Ha. And like in the corner the entire time, all I did was play softly. That's all I ever did. Until like about maybe like seventh or eighth grade, I met Quaman. And Quaman brought me to meet Alvin Batiste. And that was sort of the, like, whoa, this is crazy. I remember buying Quaman's CD, and I transcribed, like, I was in seventh, eighth grade, and I remember transcribing one of the solos, not knowing I was transcribing, just because, oh, this is really killing. I want to know how to do this. And, yeah, then he eventually got me to meet Alvin Batiste, and I, you know, studied for him for just a while, not old enough to really have retained all of what he was trying to teach me, but just enough so I could, so I have a little bit of his, you know, sort of influence. Anyway, I kept going, kept playing. And my first band director when I was in sixth grade had his own funk band. And so when I was about 16, I actually played for his funk band a little bit. And, you know, I didn't really tour or anything. Just every once in a while, he'd call me, oh, I need a trumpet player. Oh, okay. You know, and I'd do it. And over time, I never turned down a gig, really. I played any style of gig. I played R&B. I was playing neo soul. I played the first gig in New Orleans was a reggae gig for French Quarter Fest with a band called The Elements. And like I never brass band everything, and I did everything, and like any gig that was given to me. And eventually, you know, met up with Terrence Taplin, who now plays Raphael Sadiq. And he was playing with Delphio's big band too. And he was like, hey man, you need to come sit in and come play. And well, he just threw me on the gig. It wasn't even sit in. He was like, hey, you need a trumpet player. Come play it. So, okay. And I played it. The first time I played it, I was underdressed. I was in Delphio's band. We played at Snug Harbor and I was underdressed and I was nervous because I was playing around him. So I didn't sound good. He didn't even shake my hand at the end of the gig. I thought I was riding home, like thinking I was going to quit. But I came back to practice, and 6 months later, like, you know, he liked me, you know, let me join. So I got yelled at regularly like everybody else. So so I just kept doing that, met with the cats, and, you know, now I'm here.
So you guys are headed off to Russia soon, to Moscow, with the New Orleans Jazz Orchestra.
Yeah, me, you, Steve, yeah. And then our bassist, Jason.
Yeah, yeah. Jason's
going. Three-fifths of our band. Darren probably would be, too, if he didn't live in New York.
How did that trip come about for you guys?
I'm not really sure about, like, basically, I was sitting next to Brant, one of the guys who's over it, and he was getting hit up with emails about going to Moscow, and he's, hey, who wants to go? And just like, when he got the emails, I was already with him in Washington, D.C. So he was just, you know, like, hey, Steve, send me your passport information. Send me your passport. I need your passport, you know, and I was like, okay, here.
Yeah,
and
it's definitely seemed a bit last minute.
It was very last minute. We just found out about applications. It. It's March. I was in D.C. 2 weeks ago. That's when we found out we were going to Russia on the 6th of April. So it's like, okay. And I mean, you know, they just got the information. So they were just working as fast as they could. And they assembled some guys to go, you know.
And we've all in different, not all at the same time, but I think almost all of us in different settings have played with Nojo before. Yeah. And, you know, we all know each other. It's a tight-knit music scene. And I guess they needed us, so... Right. We're going to Moscow.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, anything we missed? Anything people might want to know about the record?
The session. The album's called This Is Who We Are. It's got James Partridge on tenor saxophone. Yours truly, Steven Lanz on trumpet. Jason Weaver on bass. Darren Douglas on drums. Andrew Young. But no, it's at the Louisiana Music Factory as well.
Well, guys, thank you. Congratulations on the album release, and good luck in Russia.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you.